Today we celebrate one of the most popular feasts in the church's calendar. Even though it has a kind of strange Greek name, Epiphany, which means revelation, and even though it features these mysterious unnamed figures, the Magi, the wise men, the three kings, but that doesn't stop us from reflecting on their marvelous journey of faith and on the great revelation that they received, and by extension, all of us receive. See, part of the joy of Epiphany is that the Messiah, expected by the Jews, is now revealed to the Gentiles. The Magi represent all nations, including all of us. When Jesus was born, it was revealed first to the shepherds, poor Jewish shepherds around Bethlehem. But who would pay any attention to the shepherds? Yeah, they might claim they had a vision of angels, but who would believe them? Maybe they were dreaming in the middle of the night. Maybe they were drunk or something. Maybe they just had wild imaginations. Who's going to believe those poor shepherds? But these Magi are distinguished foreigners. They're wealthy, educated men. And they're not talking about a dream or a vision that they saw. They're on a kind of research project. They're investigating the meaning of a cosmic event, the appearance of a new star. And anyone could look at it. So suddenly the Christmas message, which was limited to the Jews at first, it explodes onto the world scene for all peoples. That's what we celebrate at Epiphany, the joy of Christmas for everybody. Perhaps this is part of the reason why in the past this feast was, in the ancient times, more popular than Christmas. Nowadays, Christmas is the more significant day of the year. It's a national holiday, and many countries celebrate Christmas. But an Epiphany gets moved to the nearest Sunday. But in the past, Epiphany was the joyful feast of the arrival of the Savior of all nations. Even the tradition of exchanging gifts at Christmas time actually comes from today's feast because of the gifts that the Magi brought to the Christ Jesus, Christ child, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, I was reflecting on these gifts, and I'd like to take these gifts as a kind of starting point for our reflections this morning. The Magi did indeed give very precious gifts to Jesus, and they brought them a long way, these treasures. But they did not exchange gifts. They didn't give gifts to each other. They all gave their gifts to Jesus. So in a sense, it's more like a birthday party or more like a wedding than a Christmas party. Because at a Christmas party, we give gifts to each other. But at a birthday, everyone gives their gifts to the birthday celebrant. At a wedding, valuable gifts are given to the new couple. Now, we know what the Magi gave to Jesus. They gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. But what did they receive? This is what I'd like to reflect on. What did they receive? What gifts did they receive? Now, the obvious answer is Jesus himself, right? The gift of God himself. They met the Lord Jesus in person. What could be a greater gift than that? St. Paul, when he was reflecting on the greatness of knowing Jesus, he said, and this is in his letter to the Philippians, nothing compares to the supreme good of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's what Paul says. And he doesn't care what he loses, what he has to give up, what he has to sacrifice. He says, for his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. That's something like what the Magi discovered in Bethlehem. Who cares about gold when you have Jesus Christ? He's the great gift. Okay, so that's the starting point. But there are a few other gifts that we can identify. In fact, there's a lot of things we can reflect on on this beautiful feast. But let me pick out a few gifts that the Magi received. And I think this is helpful for us because we receive these gifts too on Epiphany, or by the gift of faith. So first of all, one of the gifts they receive is what I would call an understanding of how to relate to earthly kings, like King Herod. They learn how to relate to human authority figures. The Magi respect Herod's authority, yes, but they are also rightly cautious with him. When the Magi became aware of the birth of a new king, the very first thing we hear about them is that they're searching for the newborn king of the Jews. And then the next thing we learn about them is how they came to this idea. We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. So they follow the star to Judea, and they go naturally to the king of Judea, to Herod. Because where do you look for a king? In a royal palace. Where would they expect to find the king? Probably in the palace. Maybe they even expected the new king to be the son of Herod. That would be reasonable. But King Herod, as we know, was not reasonable. He's a treacherous, murderous king. He was willing even to have his own sons killed in order for him to retain his power. So no wonder he didn't think much about killing all the baby boys of Bethlehem just to eliminate any rival to the throne. So when Herod tries to get the Magi to inform on the Christ child, they don't fall for it. They go home by another way. This is what I think is the gift here. This is the first lesson or the first gift that I want to point out. The understanding of how to deal with earthly rulers. Because this applies to us. We are called to respect our leaders and to respect their authority, but not to be their slaves and not to be deceived by their lies. If we are wise, like the wise men, then we will know when and how to not be led astray by corrupt politicians or corrupt bosses. We understand how to deal with human authority. Of course, that's the first one. Now, the second gift, I think this is really a nice one, is the gift of the Word of God. The Word of God. I find this a fascinating detail because the Magi, as far as we know, were not familiar with the Jewish scriptures, with the prophets. I mean, their expertise was in pagan wisdom, like astrology. But they learned from Herod that there was a prophecy that indicated that Bethlehem was going to be the birthplace of the Messiah. They probably never heard of Bethlehem. Whoever heard of Bethlehem? It's just a little town. But the inspired Word of God, which they learned from Herod of all people, gave them light about their destination. And I find this a precious insight. The value, the wisdom, the power of the Word of God. Why do we read from the Bible at every single Mass? Why do we keep returning to the same scripture passages? Not because we like old news or we like old parchments, but because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is a proven, reliable way to hear the voice of God, to hear His Word. That's why we call it the Word of God. No matter who the readers are, no matter who the preachers are, the Word of God gives us divine light for our journey of faith. Even if we receive it through untrustworthy instruments like Herod, or like me, or like anybody, the Word of God is what gives us light. So we see what happens to the Magi. They don't need the star anymore once they have met Jesus in Bethlehem. And they don't need to consult Herod anymore either, because now they have the Word of God. In fact, they have met the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. So that's the second gift I picked out, the Word of God. The third gift, this will be the last one, the gift of humility. It's a surprising but necessary virtue for anyone who really wants to search out God and his will, who wants to find God. We have to have humility. We aren't told what the Magi thought when they finally arrived at the house where Jesus was. They must have been shocked, at least for a moment, that the new king was so poor. He was not in a royal palace at all. In fact, there was nothing to show his royal dignity and his power. Other than the star, there was nothing to indicate that this little baby was the king. So whatever their first impressions were, and they were probably stunned, the Magi quickly got over it, as far as we can see here. They quickly got over it because they had the humility to set aside their own expectations and their own plans and to accept the way God was doing things, the way God chose to reveal himself. It takes humility to open ourselves to what God does, how God chooses to reveal himself, because it's very often surprising to us, unexpected. The gospel tells us that the Magi prostrated themselves and did him homage. Maybe they were expecting to, they knew that they were going to find a newborn king, and they probably expected to kneel at the feet of a well-dressed child in a royal throne room. But instead, they discovered this poor king in the arms of his queen mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is herself a model of humility, the lowly handmaid of the Lord. So this is a lesson for us. A lesson about the gift of humility and the importance of being humble, because to accept the way God does things, the way God reveals things, is to let go of what we expect and what we desire. To be humble is to be set free from our narrow expectations, our narrow perspective, to be set free to respect others for who they are, including those who appear to be lowly. Free to be generous to the poor. Free to give, to freely give of our precious treasures without demanding to receive. Like the Magi, that's wisdom. Okay, so these are a few thoughts which we can take with us from our joyful celebration of Epiphany. We will not walk out of this church with any gifts. What I mean is that no one's going to give us any gold or incense, frankincense, or myrrh this morning. In fact, we probably go out of the church with less money in our pocket than we had when we went in, because we make a donation. But on a deeper level, we rejoice to be filled with many gifts by coming to the Mass on Epiphany. We are filled with many gifts, the gifts that are given to the wise. The gifts given to us so that we too can be magi, so we can be wise. The wisdom about human authority and how to relate to it, how to respect it. The wisdom that we receive from the Bible, the inspired word of God. The wisdom that comes from humility. And we carry in our hearts the most precious gift of all, Jesus himself. He's the center. He's the star of this story. He's the light to the nations. He's born for us on Christmas, he's revealed to us on Epiphany. He's the King of the Jews and the King of the Gentiles. He's our King, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, our merciful Savior. So that's why we say, come, oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.